Was the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's so good to have you tonight. Good to see each one of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. I want to talk to you this evening about crowns for saints. Everyone that's been born again, everyone's been washed in the blood, everyone has trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're a saint. You don't need to be canonized or pasteurized or homogenized to become a saint. The Bible says those that trust Christ, they're in Christ, and you're either saved or you're not saved. And if you're saved, you're a saint. If you're not, you ain't. And so, my mom now is from heaven saying, no, son, there's no such word as that. Don't say that. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm glad you're here. Appreciate you coming tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to talk to you about crowns for saints. Crowns for the saints. Yes, thank you for that fan. By the way, get your tickets. Sign up with Tawny or Tammy or Robert. Tonight we've got to know the final count for the You Are Loved. Don't miss it. Make sure, and they're calling in the food tomorrow. We must order. It's not one of them that you show up and order that night. We have to put our order in ahead of time. And so make sure if you've not seen Robert or Tawny or Tammy, please see them before you leave. Alrighty. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. See, God doesn't want us to be unlearned. He wants us to understand the Scriptures. That's why He says, study to show thyself approved, the workman under God, that need not be ashamed. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those people that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many believe that? Amen. Even so, them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Hallelujah. By the way, I know he's a risen Savior just from that statement. For him to descend, he must have ascended. Because you can't come down till you go back up. Amen. For the Lord himself, I'm glad he's coming himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout. See, nothing wrong about shouting. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, their bodies. The soul and spirit shall be with them. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And because you got this great truth, verse 18 says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The thought of Christ's coming, I tried to comfort Pastor Teets last night. I tried to comfort him this morning in the Scripture, saying one day it'll be over. One day we'll be with the Lord. One day all these heartaches will be past. I sat with a lady that had very little time to live yesterday. And I thought one day this will be all past. And there won't be no more hospitals. No one's going to die. I'm glad for that. Amen. One day Jesus is going to come back and going to give us brand new bodies and we're going to live forever and no more sorrow, no more heartache. I can't wait. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful, precious Word of God. And I pray tonight you'd help me to be a blessing to the people. Thank you, Father, for showing us truth and setting us free. And Lord, thank you for being our Savior. We love you. We pray, dear God, that on our 50th anniversary, the Jubilee of this church, July 9th, 2006. Lord, that you'd come down and may the blessings of heaven come down that day. May we have a tremendous, glorious day for you. Tonight, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to be a blessing that, Father, that we can encourage the saints and help the work of God. Help me to do well for you, Father. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. As I read through this after I prepared my message, I just want to share one thing before I even get into what I had prepared for you. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 14. This is just an extra IGA coupon. It's free. I'm going to give you a little bonus here. For if we believe that Jesus died and arose again, even so them also. Circle which sleep in Jesus. Circle that. Will God bring with them? And then verse 15, the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Circle that. You know, there's a false doctrine that's taught. They take these scriptures and they call it soul sleeping. And that's a false doctrine. There is no such thing as soul sleeping. The moment a person dies, if that person's saved, their soul and spirit, which is eternal, that goes on. They either go, if you're saved, you go up to be with Christ. If you're lost, you go to torment. Either way, it's not sleeping. It's, believe me, it's sensitive. The body and the Lord, Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Our body's made out of dust, dirt. That's why we go back to dirt. Are you still with me? Now write these three scriptures down. These three scriptures alone will tear up that false doctrine of soul sleeping. A familiar scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Therefore, Paul says, I'm confident knowing that while we're home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And so, right there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, those verses alone teaches the moment a person dies, they go to be with Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart with Christ, or depart with Christ. He said, I'm going to be departing. Nevertheless, it's more needful for me to stay. And so Paul literally taught in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, that the moment you die, you depart. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, let me just give the 2 Timothy's right there close to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, for I'm now ready to be offered. That means he's ready to die. And the time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to tell you, Paul knew when he died, he was leaving and going somewhere. And he knew where he was going, because I'm not ashamed of where he said, I know who I'm believed in. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. And so there's many scriptures. But so don't believe that when you hear people say, well, that soul's going to be sleeping, one day God's going to... No, the body goes back to the ground. But that soul and spirit, and what happened in the coming, what I'm going to preach to you in the next moment here, when Jesus comes, that body's going to come up and meet with that soul and spirit that's already there. And God's going to give it a glorious body. Amen? Well, I believe one day soon, in the near future, that the saints of God are going to be called up to meet Jesus in the clouds. Scripture says that. Doesn't matter if people believe it or not, it's still going to happen. God said it, that settled it. You know, and we always say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But it really, God said it, and it's settled whether we believe it or not. Those that believe it, though, are pretty smart, are wise to do that. We call this calling up, this snatching up, this taking out. We call it the rapture. Scripture says it's a mystery. The Bible calls it a mystery. And see, Jesus will come. Jesus will come for the saved in the rapture. 7 years later, he'll come back in his revelation. Now, I want you to see something, and then I'm going to share some scripture with you. When Jesus comes in the rapture, he's going to come like a thief in the night. People are not going to know it. You don't know when the thief's going to show up. But when he comes back in the revelation, every eye
every eye will see Jesus. So, when he comes back in the revelation, it's revealed. When he comes back in the rapture, it's concealed. Are you with me? It's the world's not going to understand the rapture. They'll say, what happened to Lizzie White? What happened to Eddie? What happened to him? What happened to them? Are you with me? And what's cool, Lizzie's, we're going to have the rapture, and Lizzie's finally going to figure it out when we get up there. Hey, I think the rapture happened. Amen. The Lord's going to come to say, I got it figured out. We've been raptured. Hey, Eddie, we've been raptured. Yeah, I know, Liz. We've been here for like 4 million years. And we... No. Amen. Amen. Just putting up with Eddie is going to get me. Notice, Jesus will come as a thief in the night when people are not expecting it. Notice, you're in Thessalonians, right? Look at chapter 5 and look at 1 and 2. But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. What's he writing about? He's talking about the rapture. The scriptures before that were talking about the rapture. How many are with me? For you know yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. I'm going to give you a thought here that I never thought about till. Look at this, verse 3. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, I know there's going to be a great peace treaty with Israel during the tribulation. If you really read this, for when they shall say peace and safety, I'm thinking as I read this that peace treaty will, one, either be made and then we're taken right out, or the rapture happens and then the peace treaty. In other words, if I understand the scripture, and I believe I do, that 7-year peace treaty, of course, we know we go out before the tribulation. So that 7-year peace treaty, the world, by the way, what does the world want now? World peace. And we're heading to a global world. Everyone's going to be all one world government, one world. And when, trust me, when you see that one world government, that one, especially that peace with Israel, because they're the apple of God's eye. Satan hates Israel, but we Christians love Israel. Amen. And thank God for the little nation Israel. And we believe there'll be a peace treaty. And boy, that peace treaty comes, we're gone. It could be right before or right after. But I'll tell you right now, it's got to be really in the proximity of the rapture, either right before or right, I mean, very close, within maybe hours, maybe days. Are you with me? So if that goes down, so get ready for your rapture shoes, amen? Notice, again, I know, hold your hand there, but look at the book of Luke. My grandson wrote this book. Just ask him. Luke Tiffy will tell you. Yeah, my brother wrote that. His name Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 39. And this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Verse 40 of Luke chapter 12. Be therefore ready. Oh, I wish the world was ready. I wish Christians were ready. Yeah, when he's a kid, we used to play hide and seek. We'd go 10, 5, 10, 50, 20, 20, 30. We'd count to 100. When I count, I was cheek. 50, 100. You know, ready or not, here I come. Well, God's going to say, ready or not, here I come. And he's going to come, ain't he? Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. He's coming. Thousands and thousands of Christians will be missing. It'll be a mystery. People will be driving cars and they'll be gone, snatched out. People will be in houses and buses and planes and airports and you name it. Everywhere, shopping markets and getting gas. Can you imagine? Hey, they took off with my gas. Oh, the car's still here. You know, I mean, they're all over. There'll be thousands of people missing. Those that are saying will be taken up in the rapture.
And that's coming, I believe, the next thing on God's calendar is the calling out, the catching out, the snatching out, the taking up of God's children. You got to be saved to be taken up. Amen? And then 7 years later, Jesus will come back with His saints. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. He'll be coming back, not with His ain'ts, because if you're not saved, you won't be there. If you're saved, you will be there. In Revelation 19, in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and a white horse. He that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and righteous. He does judge and make war. He's coming back for Armageddon. His eyes were a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. This is Jesus. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He shed that blood for you and I, for our sins. And his name is called the Word of God. Amen. And the armies, that's you and me, we are those that are saved. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Notice, you're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Right next to that verse, write verse 8. See, this at the marriage supper of the Lamb that happened right before this, while you're up in heaven, you got those things. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed with fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's where you got that fine linen that was white. Can anyone say amen? And you got it at the marriage supper of the Lamb that takes place before we go down in the Revelation. Now, notice, I told you that when Jesus comes and calls us out, the world won't know it. But when He comes back in His revelation, look at Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 7. When He comes back, every eye will see Him. Revelation 1, 7. I am Alpha. Behold, He cometh with clouds. I'm in Revelation 1, 7. And every eye shall see Him. How many see that? I'm going to tell you, people will be looking, and they're going to actually see Christ. He'll be in a big white horse, and He'll actually be coming down, Josh. He'll be, people will be seeing Him. Oh, like now, did you notice how they're watching all the time, Bobby, for these planets to come and hit our Earth, or some comet? They're waiting, they're watching for something to come to Earth. It's not a comet that's coming. It's Christ. But they don't know it. And He's going to be shiny and bright. It's like a star. And they're looking for a star to come and hit. I'm telling you, He's coming. Keep looking. They're going to see Him. The only trouble is, when they see Him, they're not going to want Him. Because in the Revelation, great judgment comes. Of course, judgment had been there for 7 years even prior. Can anyone say amen? And so, in the raptures and the mystery and the revelation is every eye will see Him. Now, after the rapture, all Christians will stand before God. Not for their sins. You wouldn't be in heaven if you were standing for your sins. Those sins have all been judged at Calvary. And when you took Christ as your Savior, His blood was applied to you. And that's why the Scripture says in Romans 4:8, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, He won't charge you. And that's why you got to go to heaven, because Jesus paid it all. And so, we're going to go to a place. Here we go. We go up in the rapture, and we go to the judgment seat of Christ. Or another name is the Bema seat. And there up in heaven, before we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, before we come down to Revelation, right after the rapture, we get brand new bodies. And right after the rapture, every Christian will stand before God. And not for an account if he's saved or not. The reason you're there is because you are saved. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. The reason you're going to stand there because you're going to give an account of how you lived your life for Christ. Not to be saved. It's not for salvation. It's for stewardship. What kind of service did you give to God? What did you do with your life after you got saved? Did you bury your talent? Or did you make more talents for Christ? Did you use your life for Christ? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must... How many appear? All appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's right after the rapture. Bema seat. The judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. Now, at the Bema seat, he judges what we did in our service for him. What do you mean, preacher? Let me help you with this. Things you really did in the Spirit of God for the cause of Christ. Works for God that are not burned up. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brother Carl has been praying. I know, and I have the same heart, Carl. We need to get the mind of a servant. We need to really... Carl even prayed today while the deacons were... We need to sell out for Christ. We need to really sell out for Christ. God, make me your servant. Let me be a servant for you, God. And 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. And our God's husbandry, ye are God's building. How many see that? Are you still with me? According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. For I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. Look what he says. For other foundations can no man lay than this laid which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. In other words, when you gave, did you give really for the cause of Christ, or did you give to get a pat on the back? When you did something in the church, did you do it for the cause of Christ? Or did you really do it just for someone to get recognition? Did you teach that Sunday school class? Did you sing that song? Did you do the bus routes? Whatever you did. When you do it, the Bible says, whatsoever we do, eat, drink, or whatever we do, we should do it for the glory of God. What you did for Christ, if you did things from your heart, those are not going to be burned up. Those will be rewarded. But anything you did in the flesh, even though it might have been underneath the name of Christianity, if you did it in the flesh just to get an applause from man, you got your reward right there. And that's what God's talking about here. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Did you really do it for me? Was I really the motivating factor behind what you did? When you went soul winning, did you really go because you wanted to? When you went for the nursing home, did you do it just to say you were doing something? Or did you do it because you really wanted to reach people for Christ? When you worked in VBS, did you do it just because you thought it was fun having VBS? Or did you do it really because you wanted to reach someone for Christ? See, everything we should do for God, not for man. Amen? For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work. And what sort of us? God says, I'll tell you, if you did it for me, if you did it for my glory, if you really did it for souls, for me and for the glory of my name, it'll stand the fire. But if you did all these things just to have man's opinion and man's gratification and man's applaud, that's what you got your reward already. It's been burnt up. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall... Watch, verse 15. Verse 14. If any man's abide, which he had built, he shall receive a reward.
If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. See, it's not for salvation. And so, everything we do, God's going to make manifest one day. It's either going to be for His glory or it's going to be burned up. Even vacuuming these floors, everything you do, I don't care if it's being an usher, greeting people, if you're doing it unto God, God's going to give a reward. Scripture teaches over in Mark 9:41, if you even give a cup of water in the name of Jesus, you're going to get a reward. Matthew 6:16-18 talked about how they did it. They did it. They fasted. They did it openly, so men would see it. He said they have their reward. Notice every man's workshop, verse 3, made manifest. It shall be revealed by fire. That fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Was the work in the spirit done for Christ? Was the work done or for the flesh? If it's done for Christ, you're going to have a reward for it. If it's done for the flesh, you already got it. Listen, what you did, was it for the praise of men? Or was that was it for the praise of God? I hope what's everything we do is for the praise of God. Amen? Now notice, 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. And this reward is not referring to salvation. Because salvation is not a reward. It's a free gift.
That's right.
So, Bobby, we know this isn't talking about salvation. It's talking about our stewardship. What we've done for Christ. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know that at the Bema Seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not being judged for salvation. The reason you're there is because you got salvation. That's already been taken care of when you trusted Christ. This is for what we did. What did we do after we were saved? How much of my work that I've served Christ was done for Rich Skyber, or was it done for the Lord? Let's look at so the Bible. So the rewards are referring to what is given to Christians who faithfully serve Christ. Now let me take about 10 minutes and show you these. The Bible refers to 5 crowns that are given to Christians. And I believe these will be given to the Christians in heaven at the Bema Seat shortly after the rapture. We call that the judgment seat of Christ. So look up here and I'll show you. Here we are right now. The Lord comes secretly and snatches us out. He takes us out of the world. Amen. People say, where'd they go? What happened to them? The Martians got them. I guarantee you they'll say, the aliens got them. Or the earth swallowed them up. And we're glad. We're tired of hearing those fundamental Christians anyways. We're tired of them yelling about abortion. We're tired about them talking about the blood and everything. Amen? And so, good riddance. We don't care anyways about those fundamentalists, but God cares. When we go up, first, right now there's millions of saved people there now. Their souls and spirits. The trump of God's going to sound, and their body is going up, and they're going to go inside that soul and spirit. Are you with me? Then, Arlene, we that are alive, the rapture, and we go up. Man, they haven't got a ride at Cedar Point like this, kids. Twinkle an eye. Man, you think that, is it Magnum? What's the big one there at the, what is it? Top thrill dragster is kindergarten compared to rapture. I mean, it's so fast. Listen, Superman is faster than a speeding bullet. You know, the only who Superman is. He used to be when I was a kid. Anyways, who's that preacher? Well, he was back there in Ben Franklin. But it's gonna. That, you talk about a ride that's fast. And then we're gonna be up in the clouds, walking. Josh is going to walk on clouds and say, "Hey, Dad, look at this! I'm walking through the clouds." There's a song called "Stepping on the Clouds," and we'll see Jesus rise and meet him in the air. Man, it's a great song, okay? I'm going to leave this world behind me, going right where that devil can't find me. I'm going higher, 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 stepping on the clouds. And we're going to step on them clouds and not fall through. The few times I do take planes, I'd rather be on the ground, though. But some places you have to take a plane to get there, like Maui and stuff like that. You have to. Yeah. Now I'm really getting to the bedrock of this message. And as we go through those clouds, Jan, I think about that all the time. Of course, the rapture, I believe, will even be higher than that. But as we see those white clouds, how many of you have been in a plane, you went to those white pillar, and those big pillowy clouds, and boy, you think, one day I'm going to walk on these. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Well, anyways, let's look at these five crowns that God's going to give. The first one's called the crown of rejoicing. John, can you help, preacher? I don't know what I'd do without you, buddy. You can write for me, okay, John? I'll give you an extra star from Romans, amen. John is a great young man. God's going to do some great things with his life. John, the first one that we're going to call the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing. If you'll turn your Bibles quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yeah, just stay there, John, because I'm going to call you up every time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. How many have got that? Look what Paul said about this crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Are you all there? For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Then he tells you what it is. Paul said to those that he loved to Christ, "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" How many see that? It's a soul winner's crown. This crown's for people that, I believe this is a reward for those who win souls to Christ. Real quickly, look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. I won't be too much, maybe another 10 or 15 minutes. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, verse 30. Proverbs right after Psalms. Proverbs, you've got Psalms, and Psalms about the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You want to get a crown of rejoicing? Be a soul winner. Look at Daniel chapter 12. I'll read it to you. Daniel chapter 12. And they that be wise, Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Yeah. I shared this with my Romans class. I believe soul winners are going to shine and glow in heaven. And I believe those that won more people to Christ will have a brighter glow in heaven. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world." And I believe with all my heart, as Daniel 12:3 says, "They that be wise." We know Proverbs 11:30. Who did Proverbs 11:30 say is wise? They that win souls. Proverbs 11:30 said, "They that win souls is wise." All right. So then we go 12:3 of Daniel, and they that be wise, well, we know who wise people are, they win souls to Christ. They shall shine as the brightness. By the way, remember, Jesus is going to glow throughout all eternity. Matter of fact, the earth, this earthly sun is going to be taken away. We won't have a sun because the Son of God's going to be the light. His Shekinah glory. Can you say amen?
And Brother Carl, I believe Christians in their glorified bodies will have a glow to them. I believe that. And I believe those great soul winners will probably have a little more brightness than others. You say, I don't believe that. You don't have to. We'll just have to wait till we get there, and then you'll see I'm right. Amen? Yes, it was. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's the one that taught me that truth, too. I believe that. He and Dr. John. Yes, he is. Dr. Jack Howell is shining bright. Guaranteed. He's one of the, he'll be one of the brightest ones up. You won't have trouble finding Jack Hiles. He'll be one of the biggest, brightest stars in heaven. Amen? He won't be a star, but I mean, he'll be bright like that. Notice, then the second one, John. By the way, I believe you'll be, your brightness in heaven will be, I believe your brightness in heaven will determine how bright you shine for Jesus on earth. How bright are we shining for Christ now? I think our glow on earth will be reflected, our illumination in heaven. Number two, there's the crown of life, John. Look at James chapter 1. Turn to the back of your Bible, right after Hebrews. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, also Revelation 2:10. James chapter 1. It's called the crown of life. And this is a crown for those who stayed faithful to God through trials. We've got folks in our church that when I prepared this message, I won't say their name, but they went through a lot of heartaches and a lot of sorrows. And they've had a lot of challenges, yet they've kept going for God. And you know what? I believe they're going to get this. Yeah. I believe those that go through trials and challenges and keep going on, I believe they're going to get this. Look at James chapter 1, verse 12. In James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Another word for temptation also could be trials. For when he's tried, see that next word? For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life. How many of you see that? Which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Notice this crown of life is mentioned another time in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. For fear, of course, it's talking to the churches, those seven churches back in when John wrote this. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I think this crown of life is connected for the people that go through trials and sorrows and testing, and yet they don't break. They don't give up. They keep on going. Job would be a guy that I think went through the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't break. They went through the fire. Daniel went in the lion's den. I think this might apply to people in that kind of situations. Can anyone say amen? And so this is a reward given to people who have been through suffering and trials and heartaches and temptations, yet they stayed faithful to God. They didn't turn on Jesus when things didn't go their way. Even the things they didn't like, they didn't quit. They didn't give up when heartaches and suffering came in their life. They didn't give up when the hardships tried to stop them. They just stayed faithful. And those that stay faithful to God, even through the trials and the temptations and all the sufferings, I believe they're going to get a crown of life. Number three, the crown of righteousness, John. It's in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's called the crown of righteousness. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's getting ready to die and leave this world. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, because I fought a good fight and finished the course and kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. I believe this is a crown that God's going to give to those who love, and I put down, they look for Christ, they long for Christ, and they love His appearing. A lot of people, they say, oh man, I don't want to even think about Jesus coming. You probably won't get that crown. I'm excited about Him coming.
Amen.
And I believe this is a reward and a crown for those who are faithful, who have faithfully served Christ, who have looked for Christ, who have longed for Christ, and will love Christ appearing. Look at, real quickly with me, look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. I believe people that get this crown of righteousness, Roddy, I believe their affections will be set on things above. I believe their main focus will be for things above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Can anyone say amen? I noted here, question, where are your affections today? Where are you looking forward to seeing Jesus? Are you longing to see Jesus? Will you love His appearing when you see Him? If you do, if you love His appearing when you see Him, you'll get, if I understand the scripture there, a crown of righteousness. And then number four, John, it's an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Incorruptible. You can't corrupt it. We strive to get corruptible crowns, things that perish. But God wants us to go. You know, we try to win the gold at the Olympics, and that's a great thing. But that'll all perish, won't it? But you get a crown of Christ, it lasts forever. If you'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race... Are you in 1 Corinthians 9:24? Know ye not that they which run in a race... run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. All these people, they work out and they suffer and they put money and stuff for these Olympic, and I'm not against that, but God says, man, they give their whole, they dedicate their whole life to win these crowns and these trophies that really are worthless. Because when you die, they're thrown away. I remember Brother Mitch told me one time, Johnny, because Brother Mitch lived in the Baltimore area, and he worked in a place where people threw things away. And I remember he said one time Johnny Unitas came. He was so mad. And Johnny Unitas threw a ton of his trophies. Man, if I'd have been in that landfill getting that stuff, man. I'd have been down and like, that's how crazy we are. Amen. See, all those, and Johnny Unitas is one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played football. You young kids don't know who Johnny Unitas is, but he was back when Preacher was young, and he was a great quarterback. Played for the Baltimore Colts. Anyways, the older folks know what I'm talking about. And but he threw all these prize things that they worked for. But you know, even all these gold medals and everything, trophies that people have, when they die, do they take them with them? And all that they focused on to win and do, to get those. What if God says, boy, you focus on the earthly things to get those. Why don't you put the same effort for the cause of Christ to get the trophies that in heaven that will never perish? Amen? Notice what he says in verse 25. Every man striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Incorruptible. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as an uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means which I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I believe this is a reward for Christians who stayed faithful, consistent. I really thank God for consistent Christians. Christians that are there year after year after year. I believe this is a crown that for Christians that when I know some of you can stand and say, I've been members there for years. God bless you. I believe God's going to give a crown to those who stayed faithful year after year. Those who stayed in the race. Those who stayed in the battle for Christ. Those who stayed in church faithful and served year after year after year after year after year. I believe it's a reward for those who stayed faithful, consistent for the cause of Christ. They were not hot one day, cold the next. They had a testimony that they loved Christ. They had loyalty for Christ. And they had longevity for the things of God. They kept... I don't say you got to be the fastest. I don't say... But I just say stay in the race. And I believe those that stay in the race, if I understand this scripture, for those Christians that stay in the race, they stay in the race. Stay in the race for God. If you run the race for God, God's got a crown for you. Can anyone say amen? And then lastly, Johnny, it's the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, near the back of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is for those in the ministry. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders, that's those preachers and those in the ministry, those the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Okay, now you preachers and you ministers and you that are in associate pastors and all those in the ministry, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, but not by constraint, but by willing, not a filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. I think the preachers ought to lead the way. I think we should have the most separated lives to anybody in the church. I think when you see your pastor, any men of God, that you should be proud of them. Say, man, I'm glad that man's a preacher. I'm glad he's a staff man. I'm glad that he's part of our church. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so, evangelists and preachers and those in the ministry, God's got something for the faithful ones who will stay faithful, who will do the work of God. And let me give you one last verse. And we got all these crowns. That's exciting, isn't it? What do you think we're going to do with them? I think we're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Let me give you one last scripture. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and we'll call it a night. Revelation 4:10. Bible study's over. Till Tuesday. If you'll notice in Revelation 4, chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth and liveth forever and ever. I'm glad our Savior liveth forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. How many see that? And power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure, and they are and were created. Notice they cast them at the feet of Jesus. Now, you say, well, preacher, this isn't talking about the saints right there. Well, it's talking about the 24 elders. I'll grant you that. But I want you to think about something. I want you to think about the time when they're doing this. In Revelation chapter 4, Look at verse 1. After I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me, come up hither. And I will show these things there must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. How many see that? That is the rapture. It's amazing, Brother Ed, that Revelation 4:1 refers to the rapture, and just a few verses later, Brother Brian, we're at the throne of God, and putting the crowns at His feet. I believe we're also there putting crowns. Because after the rapture, you're going to get those. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb, things like that. I believe this time, the rapture's happened in 4:1. Who says we couldn't be there? How many are with me? And it'll either be at this time or later in that 7-year period before we come back. But I believe we'll probably be right there, Eddie. Now, I don't know the exact time. I just know it's after the rapture. Are you with me? And if you don't agree, that's all right. When we get to heaven, I'll show you I was right. I can agree to disagree with you as long as I know I'm right. And so, what I'm saying is this. Who deserves all the glory? Whatever we might receive, no matter what, it'll be sometime up there in that 7-year span before we come back in the Revelation. Sometime we will give those, we will bow at our Savior's feet. And I believe we'll put those crowns at the feet of Christ because He deserves them all. And by the way, I believe we can show that with 4:1 being the rapture. Brother Carl? Could be what he received from all the saints. I thought about that. Yes, I did. We'll know when we get there, won't we, Carl? That went through my mind, Brother Carl. He received many crowns, and those many crowns will be given out. And Christ is going to, you know, how many are still with me? The last thought is this. Are you going to get any crowns to give to Jesus? Hey, Carl, I hope we serve enough that I'll get a couple crowns that I can give them to my Savior. He did so much for me. I'd sure like to do something to show Him I love Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for the night we had. I pray that we were an encouragement in the Scripture. That's all I want to be. I want to help people in the Scripture. I believe You're coming soon, and I believe we should understand and grow and have our hearts set on You. Help us to serve You with all our hearts. And Father, I pray what we do in the name of Christ for You. If it's even given a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, I pray it'll be for You. Help us to have a servant's heart. And Lord, we want to thank You for loving us. I just pray we'll love You. Pray our life will show it. Pray You'd encourage each Christian here. I know a lot of them are going through heartaches and suffering and trials. Help them to stay faithful. They'll receive a crown and reward. I wonder, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, how many tonight would say, Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm sure. Thank You. God bless you. Is there any tonight? Preacher, I'm not sure. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to miss out on heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? You say, Preacher, you never know. Don't take anybody's salvation for granted. You really never know. A lot of people get saved in Bible college. I give an, as we're doing this correspondence course in Romans, I give an invitation almost every time on the Romans tapes, because you just never know. And you don't know who's going to come and who's going to hear. And so tonight I give that same invitation, because you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. How many want to say, preacher, I want to earn some crowns for Christ so I can lay him at his feet? Who would say that? God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to serve you with all our heart and soul. Help us to be like the Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Lord, help us to be, when you come, help us to have joy at your appearing. Oh God, I would to God you'd even come while I'm praying. It'd be so great. I'd love to see you, Father. And Lord, I pray you'll bless our people tonight. Please, bless our teenagers. Put a hedge around them. Oh God, protect my kids from all the evils of the world. Thank you for the dedication of this teen group. And their leaders, they're Eddie and Misty, they're doing a tremendous job. Oh God, breathe on our people. And give us the power of God to serve you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you singing, Dave?
388.
388. If you'd like.